Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Bell, and I'm an undergraduate student at Oklahoma State University. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about an alternative method for closing a swine lagoon. This is a two-part talk, and I'll be talking about the first part. First of all, OSU has an old swine research center, and they're trying to close down the swine lagoon. It's about 2 acres in size, and it's very close to the outskirts of town with plenty of residential area along the proximity of the lagoon. So potentially, you know, taking the manure off-site, getting it all out of the lagoon, and then land applying it would be very unfavorable with the community. Also, it would be very costly. So the overall goal of this is to look at just an alternative way to reduce the cost. And the way we're looking at doing this is by stabilizing using phytostabilization methods. We plan to utilize the nutrients for tree and crop production. And the significance for Oklahoma, there's about 400 CAFO, which is confined animal feeding operations, for beef, dairy, swine, and poultry farms that use liquid manure handling systems. There's also about 200 less than CAFO size farms that use the same manure handling system. So this using this alternative method could lead to a 50 to 80% cost reduction. And for Oklahoma agriculture community, it's a significant amount of money saved, about $100 to $160 million overall. Now the closure method we used is first we drained the lagoon. We took the swine effluent and applied it to adjacent Bermuda grass fields. We made sure that the clay liner was kept intact and then filled the lagoon with the soil berm soil and also additional fill soil. After this, we proceeded to plant trees and crops. This picture here is just us pulling the swine effluent off. You can see on the top left sides the pump. And this we let it dry for about 3 weeks. It wasn't completely dry by any means. Just for perspective, you can see in the top left-hand corner, there's a S10 Chevy pickup. Kind of gives a little perspective on the size. And you can also see along the outer edges, the soil berm that we use to push on top of the sludge. And this is a picture you can see here is a bulldozer pushing in the soil berm and just trying to completely cover. And then this is a picture after the first growing season. On the inside, you can see is all the trees, and outside it's a little hard to see, but that's the cropland around the perimeter of the trees. And also, I'd like to note in this picture, all the sludge was completely covered by the soil. So. For long term, we plan to monitor nutrient uptake, monitor growth, and also look at water and soil chemistry at least for 10 years, but we want to do it hopefully longer to make this a long-term study. We plan to publish these results in peer-reviewed journals and in extension notes to make what we are doing available to other people that might be interested in using the same methods. We also want to use the site as a demonstration for producers to kind of get an idea firsthand what we're doing and how easy it could be and also how cost effective it could be. However, for my research, I did a little bit more specific. I was looking at the fate of the buried sludge. We were trying to figure out if it was a carbon source or if it was a carbon sink. And we were comparing the buried method that we used to the traditional land application. We calculated about 300 tons of carbon that was encased within this lagoon. And we also calculated it would be about a savings for this lagoon, about $300,000. The experimental methods we used, we simulated the encased sludge in laboratory and we monitored the carbon oxidation. We used a 1.5 to 1 soil to sludge depth ratio. And again, we were comparing the buried to the simulated surface applied. And for that, we used a rate of 130 bushel acre corn incorporated. We also included an inorganic control with the nutrients N, P, and K. We also did the buried and the surface applied rates for those. And also, while looking at the buried versus the land applied, we looked at old versus new sludge. The old sludge is from the lagoon that we're currently trying to close down. It's a 50-year-old swine lagoon, And the new is from the current swine lagoon that the research center is using, and it's about 10 years old at the time. We incubated each of these treatments in 1-quart canning jars for 33 weeks at 25 degrees Celsius, and we did 3 replications for each of the treatments. We trapped the carbon dioxide with sodium hydroxide traps. These were changed weekly and then back titrated to estimate the carbon dioxide evolution. And we normalized all of our data based on the carbon that was present in the sludge that we used. This just gives a little bit of the sludge properties for the old versus the new. The C-to-N ratios were about the same, with the old sludge being slightly higher, as you can see by the graph. And also the soil that we used was representative of the soil berm and the additional fill soil brought in, so it replicated what was actually going on in the field. This was a sandy loam. The total carbon was 0.38%, and the total nitrogen was 0.07%. And this graph shows the total the carbon degradation with time over the 33 weeks. So an overall decreasing trend for these top two. They're a little bit higher, and the reason for that is that this was the buried new and the buried old treatments. And there was actually more carbon because there was more sludge present with those treatments because it was the buried. It wasn't going off of the 130 bushel acre corn rates. And this is the carbon degradation for the inorganic fertilizer control that I was talking about. It's a considerable amount more of nitrogen applied per kilogram for these treatments, just based again off of the percent carbon that was with the sludge it was imitating. There's about twice the amounts of N applied for the new versus the old, and that also just has to do with the characteristics of the sludge of the new versus the old. And this is the carbon degradation for the sludge treatments. You can see just by looking at it, the buried, there's a lot less carbon that was oxidized with those treatments. But there's about a 40% gain in carbon sequestration for the buried versus the surface for the old sludge, and about a 60% gain for the new treatments. And so it's a pretty hefty change for how much carbon is being sequestered. And we wanted to look a little bit further into this. Also, I'd like to note with these, this is normalized based on the percent carbon that was used, so we can get accurate results. To figure out, try to get a little bit more insight into why there was so much carbon sequestered for the old versus the new sludge, we did a carbon fractionation experiment to look at the humification index, which is the non-humic material over the humic plus fulvic acid. The lower this number, the means more humified, and the more humified, the more stable the material is. The new sludge, we came up with 0.64, which is typical for fresh manure, so it had a high potential for degradation, and ultimately for the study had a higher potential for carbon oxidation. Also for the old sludge, it had a 0.17, which is very similar to soils, so this sludge, the characteristics made it very similar to soils, which basically means that it had degraded and had less potential. As you could see from the previous slides, it did degrade the carbon a little less. And then from this, we came up with some conclusions. There's less carbon degradation with manure encasement compared to the surface application. We do want to note that this was only for the short term, so long term, we're still working on the current study, but for the short term, it was 33 weeks. We noted a big difference between buried and surface was greater than new than for the old sludge. And as I was talking about on the previous slide, we figured this had to do with the humification, that the old sludge was more stable because of a greater degree of humification. Therefore, it had less potential for the carbon to degrade. And we also would like to note that for this study, we did not look at the impact of plant roots as it was an incubation study. And thank you.
Questions for Patrick?
I'll ask a question. What sort of costs were involved in hauling off the liquid? Because you said you applied that, you took that away and applied that to Bermuda grass, I think you said. So there was some cost involved with that anyway.
Yes, I don't know the exact numbers on that. I do know it was a little less than if we were going to. We actually applied that effluent to fields just adjacent to the swine lagoon, so we didn't have the cost of, you know, transporting down a highway. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact numbers. I know it was probably not as much, just the rental fee for the pump and the nozzles. So.
Anything else?
Tyson?
Yes.
Do you plan to do any plant analysis on the trees that you planted, the leaf matter?
Yeah, actually, that's the part two that's coming up here in just a second. They're going to be talking a little bit about the effects on the plants and what we found to be going on there. So.